Good morning, New York. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katz from Katie's here, Sunday morning. What the heck is going on in New York? What's going on in Long Island? Well, who's better to tell us than ex-former Congressman, Peter King, who King's Highway has been named after his family? and Congressman King, there's so many things to talk about. What the heck is going on in New York? Where do we start? I mean, congestion pricing, what's going to happen in the primaries in 2 weeks from now? Where would you like to start?
You know, sometimes on shows like this, you're trying to figure out, is there something that you can talk about? Is there so much to talk about? I would say right away is Eric Adams, who is acting so upset and angry about the governor of Texas sending up all the illegal immigrants from Texas to New York. And at the same time, Mayor Adams brags about New York being a sanctuary city. You can't have it both ways. You can't say you're a sanctuary city and then get upset when the governor of Texas, who is being inundated with illegal immigrants by the thousands coming across the border, sends 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 immigrants up to New York. And Eric Adams is acting very upset by all this. Listen, I like Eric Adams personally, but I think on this issue, he's really got it wrong. The problem is not with the governor of Texas. It's with the president of the United States and the Department of Homeland Security, which is not securing the border. And that's the real issue here, stopping illegal immigration at its roots at the border. Another issue, which is really affecting us here in New York, it can affect us, is congestion pricing, which I've heard everything from $9 to $23 to $34 a day to drive into Manhattan. I mean, this is going to have a devastating impact on the outer boroughs. It's going to have a real impact on people living in the suburbs. And I think it's counterproductive because it's going to hurt Manhattan. It's going to keep people from coming in to shows, coming in to shop, and also coming back to work.
That's on top of people feeling unsafe to go into the city. It's on top of feeling unsafe to go into the subway system. I mean, where do we go first? I mean, New York City has a problem already, and they're creating a bigger problem instead of solving problems.
You have a bad situation, they're making a bad situation worse. And again, crime, as we know, is out of control in New York. And one of the reasons they're given for congestion pricing is that'll take people out of cars and put them back into the subways. Well, people don't want to go in the subways because of the high crime rate, how dangerous it is to be on the subways. And, you know, even during the bad days of the 70s and 80s, I never remember people being attacked in the middle of the day in Midtown. And, we're not talking about the dark of night in some alleyway somewhere or some lonely street. We're talking about right in the middle of everyone. Certainly people are being attacked. They're being punched. They're being stabbed. They're being pounded with something. It's really this is out of control, and it really has to stop. And that's what Mayor Adams should be focused on. Listen, he's got a great police commissioner in Keyshawn Sewell, but we have to let the cops do their job. Also, John, you mentioned the primaries coming up. Yeah, I mean, this is a crazy year. We had already a whole set of primaries back in June, but now we have additional primaries because of the courts throwing out the map that the legislature came up for Congress and the state Senate, I guess, or the state Assembly. So this is state Senate. So it's the state Senate and the
congressional races.
Congressional big ones we have there. We have congressmen and congresswomen moving all over from one district to another. And probably the most titanic match is the one with Jerry Nadler and Carol Maloney. Both of them came to Congress the same time I did. They're 30-year veterans. They're both chairmen of powerful committees. And historically in New York, there was one district on the east side of Central Park and one district on the west side of Central Park. Well, the court now ordered that these districts be merged. So you have the two of them running against each other. I think right now the edge seems to be going to Jerry Nadler from what I hear, but who knows? Who's going to come out and vote on August 23rd? It's the end of the summer. People are getting their last week of vacation in. Are they going to take the time to mail in a ballot? Are they going to take their time to come back from a holiday home to vote? I don't know. So that's really a tight one, which no matter how it goes, it's going to hurt New York because we're going to lose. We are going to lose one powerful chairman no matter what. And that hurts New York because we need whatever help we can get in Washington. Whether you agree or disagree with the political party, if there is going to be a Democrat in there, I want them to be the chairman of the committees, because that's going to give New York more of a fair shake. On the Republican side, we have, again, upstate New York, it's Carl Paladino running against Nick Langworthy on Long Island. I think Andrew Garbarino is in good shape in his primary. There's another one in the 1st District involving Nick LaLota. But these are, again, this is, we've never had primaries at this time of year and being secondary primaries. Again, the, you know, the one for governor was back in June, and now this is a totally separate one. So I'll tell you, for a crazy year, this sort of tops off a crazy year.
This, I guess this primary, as far as the Democratic side is concerned, is going to decide whether you're going to have common sense Democrats or who's going to be running in the state Senate. Now, the other problem that that exists today, I understand there was a big article about the chairman of Whole Foods, who is very left-minded or very liberal, which is okay with me, but all of a sudden he's making statements. He is scared of socialism in our country. Is that with most Democrats? There's a war going on between the Democratic Party in Brooklyn and in Queens, and you were born where?
I was born in Manhattan, raised in Queens, and went to school in Brooklyn, so I'm a tri-borough person.
You're a tri-borough resident. Tell us, why are the common-sense Democrats allowing the socialists to try to run their party?
I think some of the Democrats were lackadaisical. They were sitting back. It wasn't going to affect them directly. And, you know, they were the more, let's say, moderate Democrats. They just took it for granted that things would always be okay. And if some of the socialists got in, how bad could it be? Well, now they're realizing it. So you have people like AOC and the Squad who have come in, and they're just knocking off one by one the what we would call the centrist Democrats or the traditional Democrats. And now it's starting to hit home. They realize how dangerous this really is, how dangerous socialism is. A lot of times you have people who do have money or are sort of living off by themselves. They say, no, let's try socialism. How bad can it be? Because they feel it's only going to affect the working class people or middle income people. But now it's affecting everyone. And they're seeing the effect it's having on society when, you know, businesses are collapsing in many cases, people are moving out of the state. And they also the fact that people are afraid to walk, people are afraid to go out in the streets. And really no one is safe. It almost doesn't matter where you live these days. You're still vulnerable. It doesn't matter really almost how much money you have because the laws are changing. Like, you know, the bill that was passed the other day in Congress, which it says it's going to stop inflation. Actually, it's not. But apart from that, there's 87,000 new IRS agents to carry out audits.
Congressman King, what I said verbally yesterday or the day before, Forbes says there's 1,000 billionaires. What do you do with the other 84,000?
Going after middle-income people, small businesses, people who have maybe small real estate firms.
The waiters, the Uber drivers, right. The taxi drivers, mm-hmm. That they say, how come you're not reporting your tips?
They're going to be going after the hardworking people who maybe don't report all their tips. And even if they do, they should go through an audit. And that's, I mean, I've known people who in the end, the IRS cleared them completely. But in the meantime, they went through hell for over a year. Their lives are turned upside down. Every aspect of their life was looked into. Bank statements and expenditures.
And today, a couple of days ago, when they were advertising for IRS agents in the newspapers, they said there was a strange part of the advertisement that they have to have the ability to use deadly force. What was that about?
Wow.
I think you should research that and find out what the heck is that about.
Yeah, and who decided to put that in? What was that based on? I mean, usually that language has to be approved by really everyone, any kind of change in language like that. What was that based on? Was there a report out there? Do they have evidence to back that up? I have no idea. I mean, it's and we are, by the way, and this is a dangerous time in the country because people are angry at the FBI. They're angry at the IRS. We saw 2 years ago they were very unfairly angry at the police. And we have to find ways to calm this down a bit. You said we have some common sense.
Yes. When Merrick Garland, when Merrick Garland went on the, on radio and television on Thursday afternoon to say it, it was me that that signed and authorized the subpoena for Trump's home. Because I guess the FBI that usually stands next to him was not Ray was not standing next to him today, and I think he says that the FBI is getting a lot of heat because but they weren't standing next to him, and he wanted to, I guess, take the heat away from the FBI to, and put it on himself.
I don't know. There's also talk that the White House did not know that Garland was going to make that statement. There's no one, you know, there's nothing coming from the White House either. So this is it's very dangerous. I mean, we are living in a time which we're politicizing. Criminalizing politics. We're taking what could be just considered tough, hard-nosed politics and try to somehow make it a crime. We're turning everything's being investigated, turned inside out. And, you know, once you begin an investigation, it's considered a failure unless you find something. As they keep going and going until they find something. And it's, again, it's creating this animosity, these bitter divisions in the country. And the country is going to suffer from it. We have to, again, find a way to end this. And it's the whole thing of going after President Trump, going after him. Listen, President Trump makes a lot of enemies over the years, but it serves no purpose for the country to be constantly investigating him, going after him, trying to get something on him. And we could be doing that to everyone in public life. And if that starts, there's going to be no end to it. And the danger here could be when and if, and I think the Republicans will be taking over soon, they will be investigating the Democrats to get revenge. And I remember I was saying when Bill Clinton was being impeached, I was opposed to his impeachment. And I said, my fellow Republicans, you know, you're enjoying doing this today to the Democrats. Believe me, the day is going to come when they're going to do it to us. And sure enough, the Democrats did. They impeached Donald Trump twice. And I don't know if they would have been able to do it so easily if the Republicans hadn't already crossed that line and impeached Bill Clinton. Because that was something that was not done. It was only once in the history of the country. That was a fluke back in the 1860s. Once you cross these lines, it's hard to call a ceasefire. And now with the FBI raiding President Trump, the home of the former president, I think it's just going to create more and more bitterness and really hostile action over the next several years by government entities.
Congressman Peter King, thank you for speaking up for all Americans and all New Yorkers. God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you, John. Thank you.